Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. Coming up on today's show, millions of women may be hurting themselves with every step they take. A renowned foot surgeon takes a serious look at high heels and offers his prescription for happy, healthy feet.
But first, get up out of that comfy chair, because sitting for long periods of time may be hazardous to your health. Emerging research has revealed that sitting still for as little as 20 minutes creates physiological changes that can lead to long-term problems.
We're in the midst of an explosion of scientific studies on exercise and fitness. And here with the latest insight is journalist and fitness advocate Gretchen Reynolds. She writes for the New York Times Well blog, and her most recent book is The First 20 Minutes. Surprising science reveals how we can exercise better, train smarter, live longer. Welcome to Take Care, Gretchen.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we have about 20 minutes with you, so we're going to be looking to get the most out of our first 20 minutes with you. Why don't you first start by saying, what is the importance of those first 20 minutes of exercise?
Well, it's a very interesting development in exercise science that scientists have found that the first 20 minutes of getting up and moving around, and that means doing anything, even just standing up, particularly if you've been very sedentary, is the most important part of any exercise routine. You actually get most of the health benefits, and that means a reduction in disease risk, an improvement in blood flow to your brain, all sorts of benefits. You get most of those in the first 20 minutes of moving around. You don't have to run a marathon. You just have to get up, move.
But what about the idea that you're supposed to be in your target heart rate for a minimum amount of time? Is that factored into that?
No. There's no such thing as a target heart rate that we all have to meet. For one thing, another important thing that science is discovering is that there are different goals and different ways to achieve goals in terms of exercise. If you want to be healthy, if you want to have much less risk for diabetes, for heart disease, for dementia, if you just want to live a longer and healthier life, you don't have to do a lot of vigorous exercise. You just need to be moving your body enough to keep in motion. Just that small amount of activity greatly reduces your risk of dying prematurely.
So Gretchen,
and all of us want to live as long as possible, right?
So Gretchen, what you're saying is, you know, a lot of us are office workers. We have a 9-to-5 job. We get in at a certain time. Maybe after a couple of hours, we have a coffee break. So what you're advocating is actually, it fits well with that sort of 9-to-5 sedentary lifestyle. In other words, don't go to the water cooler. Just walk around the office, walk a few flights of stairs. It's that kind of activity. I mean, if you have 15 minutes, obviously, that's 15 in the first 20, but that will be helpful for prolonging and enhancing our health.
And in fact, they found that getting up and moving for 5 minutes, if you are otherwise sedentary, can actually reduce your risk of dying prematurely. And that includes for people who are overweight. So particularly for people who feel like they can't exercise a lot or they hate the whole idea of exercising, stop thinking of it as exercise. Start thinking of it as movement, as activity, and do it in 5-minute bursts throughout the day. And it will actually make a profound difference in your risk for a variety of diseases, in your mood, and just generally how you feel.
Let's talk about the physiology of being sedentary. What happens to our bodies when we're just sitting still over a number of hours?
This is actually one of the most interesting areas, I think, of exercise science today, is that we are learning that there's a difference between sitting too much and not getting enough exercise. What happens when you sit for prolonged periods of time, and that means for more than 20 to 30 minutes at a time, is a lot of things start to happen within your muscles. And for one thing, you start producing less of an enzyme that breaks up fat in your bloodstream. So you start getting a buildup of fat, and that has to go somewhere. It tends to go to your muscles, to your heart, to your liver. All of those are unhealthy. You also get a buildup of blood sugar, which contributes to diabetes, or at least to pre-diabetes. And that's largely because your muscles otherwise use a lot of the blood sugar. That's their fuel. If your muscles are not working at all, nothing is using that blood sugar. It builds up. You get too much. All you have to do to undo those unhealthy changes, stand up. Stand up about every 20 minutes, it appears. Once again, there's the 20-minute marker. Stand up, walk around your office. If the big muscles in your legs and your back start contracting, they produce the enzyme that breaks up fat. They pull blood sugar from your blood. They've found substantial reductions in people's risk for heart disease and for diabetes just if they stand up more often. And not necessarily if they exercise more.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And our guest today, Gretchen Reynolds, who so far is giving us some good news. She's the author of The First 20 Minutes, and we're talking about new scientific research that is pointing to not having a sedentary life. And Gretchen, you were just saying that just standing up for 5 minutes within an hour can elongate your life. I'm guessing that as you're talking about your book, you might be talking to people who do not like exercise. And you're almost like the Wizard of Oz. We just want you to tell us what is the least we can do to gain the most benefit of exercise. And there are so many areas. I want to just start with a couple of basic things, if it can be reduced to that. For instance, if you could just talk about, is there a best time of day to exercise, how often, and how intense? What's the general thought about that?
Well, the best time of day to exercise is, frankly, any time that you can fit it in. But there is some evidence that if you can exercise in the morning, particularly before breakfast, that you might actually burn a little more fat throughout the day. So if that's your goal, is to potentially burn a little more body fat, then it may be helpful to get up and go work out before you've had your breakfast.
Now, does that have to do with, I've read, you know, believe me, everything, and we all have, especially when we're trying to lose weight. Is there any science behind, and I don't know if that's what you're saying, that it gets your metabolism going in any better, faster, more efficient way, and therefore you're getting the most out of it, and if you wind up working out at night, you don't have that benefit? Is there any truth to that?
Well, yes and no. If you work out before breakfast, because you haven't eaten anything yet, the way you metabolize food than the rest of the day is a little different, and you will actually burn more of the fat that you are eating if you exercise before breakfast. If you want to speed your metabolism, then you actually, it appears you have to exercise pretty intensively. And the best science suggests that means you have to run bicycle quite hard, meaning that you are breathing very hard, that it feels unpleasant. And you need to do that for about 45 minutes to an hour, which most of us won't do. And you actually then only burn a few more calories over the course of the next day than you would have otherwise. So for most people, it's not going to make that much difference. And the kind of people who can exercise like that are usually already thin. So it's not fair.
Good point.
Gretchen, you're mentioning, you know, you mentioned exercising before breakfast. There are a lot of things that you're saying that sort of turn on its head the prevailing ideas that we've held so dear in terms of how we should be exercising or taking in physical activity. I mean, a lot of times you used to hear, no, don't exercise until you've eaten a little something because, you know, you're going to peter out quickly. We've also learned, I was surprised when the news came out that you should not be stretching beforehand, but you should actually be doing your stretching during your workout. What are some of these common myths that we've held on to for a number of years that recent studies have disproven?
Well, one of the biggest is the one you just mentioned about stretching. And that's an instance where almost all of us were taught back in PE class that we had to reach over, touch our toes. We had to bend and hold various poses and stretch the muscle before we started working it out. When they actually brought athletes and other and normal people into a laboratory and studied what happened to their muscles, it turned out that stretching beforehand is actually, it appears, counterproductive for almost everyone. And that's because when you hold a pose, which is called static stretching, you send a signal to your brain that the brain interprets as you are about to pull that muscle. You are about to overstretch it. And it appears that the brain actually sends a signal in response that tells the muscle to stop contracting so much. And you stop having as much power and flexibility from the muscle. So it's actually for most people, maybe not gymnasts or divers, but for the rest of us, it's counterproductive to stretch before we exercise. And almost certainly much better if you like stretching to do it either during or after a workout.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. And we are speaking with Gretchen Reynolds, who has written a book, The First 20 Minutes, Surprising Science Reveals How We Can Exercise Better, Train Smarter, and Live Longer. And I know in the periods of time when I was an avid runner, and I have to admit, I go in and out of my phases of exercise, but I never did like to stretch. And so it's funny. I sometimes think that perhaps are we intuitive about what we should be doing for our bodies, but that sometimes we do listen a lot to the current prevailing theories, and that's what we do.
I think one of the more interesting sidelights of exercise science these days is it keeps validating the whole idea that our bodies actually know what's best for us. And if we do listen to what they tell us in terms of how much movement we need, how much, what sorts of activities we need, the bodies are very smart. There's good information, for instance, that the real sweet spot for exercise is quite moderate, that just running, going for a run or even a walk 3-4 times a week is the best way to prolong your lifespan. And you don't need to do more. You don't need to do less. You can do less, actually, and still benefit. If you do a whole lot more, there does appear to come a point at which it's counterproductive. So if you listen to what your body wants, science would say you're doing exactly the right thing.
Sounds like if you just simply make a commitment, and it doesn't have to be a big commitment, it just has to be a steady commitment to moving more regularly and doing it in smaller increments that are manageable within your lifestyle.
In fact, there's quite good science that breaking up quote-unquote exercise sessions into smaller portions throughout the day is more beneficial than cramming it all into one exercise session a day. There's good evidence that, for instance, with blood pressure, you get much better blood pressure control if you go for 3 10-minute walks than if you go for 1 30-minute walk. So if you can just find any way to move more often throughout the day, the simple things that we know we should be doing, like take the stairs, can actually make a really profound difference in the health of your body, how long you live, and how well you live.
You know, I wish my body knew what was best for it, but if I really listen to it, I really do not like exercising. This is Lorraine speaking. I don't want to get Linda in any trouble. I mean, I force myself to do it for health reasons. Very quickly, is there any research on how to motivate people to exercise? Because sometimes we know what's good for us. We don't always do it. Are they doing any research on that?
Well, there is some research, for one thing, that suggests that liking exercise or not is, to some degree, genetic. So you can blame your parents.
Oh, I think I will then.
But one thing that does seem clear is that for a lot of people, if you don't call it exercise, they're more apt to do it. So just call it gardening, call it a walk, call it anything else. There are easy ways to incorporate activity into your daily life that do not require you to, quote unquote, exercise. And the human body is really built to be moving. We are genetically, from the time that the human species was developed, we were in motion. So we are built to move. We are not necessarily built to run. We are certainly not, for most of us, built to run marathons. So don't feel that you have to exercise, but you do need to be moving, standing, walking, doing anything that you enjoy. And almost all of us can find something that we like. Go dance. That counts as movement, and it's wonderful.
You're absolutely right. I like the way you're, putting this into perspective. Really great advice, great research. We really enjoyed the book. Gretchen Reynolds, thank you so very much for being part of the show and joining us on Take Care.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Gretchen Reynolds is the author of The First 20 Minutes. Surprising Science Reveals How We Can Exercise Better, Train Smarter, Live Longer. For more information on Gretchen Reynolds and her work on the science of exercise, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org.
Coming up next, can high heels be dangerous to a woman's health? We'll get advice from a foot surgeon on the steps every woman can take to avoid pain. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.